ahead if SpaceX has problems. If they cure their problems and things work out, yeah, SpaceX would be the first one to do it. But they, you know, Blue Origin already has this contract with NASA anyway for future missions. If they could accelerate it, that might be better. Anyway, their lander is called the Blue Moon. So we come down, you know, land and eventually take off. Again, bring the crew of two. Back in, they could actually hold four, but originally they plan on landing two and bringing two back up to the space station. Eventually, again, possible space station. So, you know, here's everything that they need in the next couple of years. They need a workable starship to go back and forth to the moon, or they need a workable Blue Moon lander from Blue Origin to do the same thing, or both. They also need to have a space launch system up and running, which they plan on launching again. It has launched once already. They plan on launching it again in February with an actual crew on the Orion spacecraft on top of the on top of this rocket. Right now, that plan is to send this crew of four around the moon and all the way back and land in the Pacific Ocean. Make sure the crew vehicle Orion is in good shape. Run complete check on that system. So they need that. And one of the things that they'll definitely, in my opinion, need is a space station in orbit around the moon. That's called Gateway. The problem is the funding right now is definitely not there. They were getting up to around $24 million per year, and now it looks like they cut back around $7 million from NASA. If anything, they needed an increase to get all these components done. Space launch system, an Orion spacecraft, Starship that could land on the moon, or a blue moon lander from Blue Origin to land on the moon. It's a lot of components, a lot of things that need to be done. And behind it all, here comes China. China's pushing to land their taconauts, what they call them, not astronauts, the taconauts, onto the moon's surface by 2030. Could they do it? Yeah, they could do it. So it could be a problem. Any comments, put in that WS2N. Nothing heard. Anyway, there's another manned spacecraft that's being developed, and this one is by a completely different country. India has planned launch of a crewed vehicle. They're going to launch it without a crew, probably within a year and a half. The Gagarin spacecraft is putting the finishing touches on that. And that will be launched on a geosynchronous, what do they call that, launch vehicle. GSLV, I think they call it. Anyway, that's their heavy launch vehicle that they've flown many, many times successfully. All they need is to perfect the Gagarin spacecraft, put that on top, and they'll be able to launch up to three people with that thing. And their goal is to probably launch a year after that, probably 2028, a crew to orbit. They don't have a space station, but for now, they plan on launching a crew to orbit, bring them back safely. So they're coming along. So we'll have another country involved in the human space flight in probably 3 or 4 years. Any comments? Okay. We didn't talk much about AI this morning at the beginning of the net, but NVIDIA plans on putting that one of their chips onto a launch in probably within the next couple of months. They want to put it on, into space, and I guess they're going to have it attached to some kind of a server or computer, and they want to see how it works in orbit. They have long-term plans of keeping their servers actually in orbit, you know, to some extent, for a number of reasons. These chips use up so much power, the way the story goes on this one anyway, that, and they also need to be kept cold. So they feel that in space they could have solar panels creating enough power to work these chips, and at the same time, depending on the orbit, keeping it cool. I think they're Whistling Dixie, but this is what NVIDIA has planned. I guess they have enough money where they could invest in doing something like this to see how it's going to work. But you know, their goal is to eventually have, you know, everything off the earth. All these data centers flying in orbit. I think I'm not going to hold my breath for that to happen, but that's something the video is thinking about. Any comments? Okay. Anyway, the Space Shuttle Discovery, many times. That was always the one that would first fly after there was a disaster. For instance, Space Shuttle Columbia, when that was destroyed coming back from space, the next flight after that, they used Discovery to do that. The same thing for the Challenger, when that was lost. First flight after that mission was Discovery, and it made many flights, plenty of trips to the space station, and all of that. And when it was retired, they put it into the Smithsonian Institute in Washington. So you can go there and, you know, look at it. And, I haven't done that. That was definitely on my list of things to do. But now it looks like the politicians down in Texas want to somehow get Discovery back down to Texas. Now, you can't take this, you can't drive it down on a flatbed. It's way too big and way too expensive to do what they used to do in the old days. They used to take the shuttle and put it on top of a 747, and they could fly it anywhere they wanted. For instance, in the early days when the shuttle would land in White Sands, New Mexico, to bring it back to launch facilities like NASA in Florida, they would put the shuttle on top of the 747, eventually fly it all the way back. Same thing when I landed in Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. They supply it all the way back. Of course, that got a lot cheaper when they perfected the landings in Florida, and they had a 3-mile runway not too far away from the vehicle assembly building in Florida. They would come down, land there, and then they would bring the shuttle in and fix it up, and eventually, you know, refly it. total amount of missions that flew were 135 with all these the different five shuttles that were built. But now politicians, let's bring this thing down to Texas where we could charge people to come in and look at it. Meanwhile, you can go to Smithsonian right now. Everything's free. And they want to make, a money-making project out of space shuttle discovery. And their idea now to do this is to cut it up in pieces. Let's cut this thing up and send it somehow down to Florida and reassemble it. Now, the engineers are saying, you do that, you're going to put permanent damage to that shuttle. And it's really not going to be, as a great historic vehicle like what it is now. If you cut it up and put it back together again. So they're saying it's going to lose that kind of value. Not only that, people in the Smithsonian are claiming that they officially own this thing. You know, the Discovery vehicle was completely turned over to them legally by NASA. So I don't know where the people down in Texas think that they could go with this, but I would imagine it's going to be all tied up in the courts in the future. Any comments? WS2S. Two moons that we have going around Earth now. We have our moon, and NASA claims that there's a small moon following us around in orbit around the sun. But the estimated size sounds like an asteroid to me that got caught up in our gravitational pull. So the way they wrote it up on all these different websites, well, now we have two moons. Well, from what I see, it looks like probably a 100-foot diameter thing. They claim it's 18 to 36 meters wide, so figure no bigger than 100 feet in diameter. So to me, that's not a moon. That's an asteroid that temporarily pulled into orbit. Anyway, that's what I figured I'd report on that, because I have run out of topics. And like I said, usually I would have more topics. But the NASA site, it's not down. They're just not updating it. I mean, you can go to NASA.gov, no problem getting there. But there's no new updates. Any comments? Anyway, nothing heard. I'd like to thank everybody that listened and stood by. But for now, I'm going to turn it over to Roy. We'll be back, hopefully, with some extra topics next week. We'll definitely cover the HTVX, the Japanese cargo vehicle that's going to attach itself to the space station. They're going to reach out with a robotic arm and it's going to birth it to one of the ports, and then it will stay there for months on end until they unload it and eventually reload it up with garbage and stuff, because eventually it will burn up in the atmosphere. But this one is more of a spacecraft than the old ones. The old ones, they used to deorbit it, and it used to pretty much burn up soon after it left the space station. The new one is going to do scientific studies all by itself after it separates from the International Space Station. It will be a self-flying spacecraft for around three to 4 months before they actually deorbit this thing. Any last comments? Now we're going to turn back to Roy. AC2GS WS2N for the SpaceNet report for the TechNet. Back to you.
Very good. This is AC2GS. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for the SpaceNet report. Thank you for all that you do for the technical net and all you do for the club. We all appreciate it. And I appreciate everyone who participated tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had some little fun. I hope you learned a few things. And I hope you'll join us next Sunday when we try and do this all over again. As is my usual practice, let me remind you of a few clever sayings from some clever people. Our own K2RAW would end most of his technical nets with the advice to be kind to each other. That's always good advice. And good old Epictetus had this great line, it's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. So try and keep your mind open to new ideas, but not so wide open that your brain cools out, because you're going to need it one of these days. Everyone, stay safe, be well, have a great week. Please, if you can, come back next Sunday at 8 p.m. when we try and do this all over again. This is AC2GS, and I will be clear after I say, Slava Ukraini.
That time complete. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. The W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
KE2DOY mobile.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
And 2PJG on the way to work.
Good morning, PJ. How you doing?
Not too bad. I'm just passing Babylon Town Hall. I left on time today. I'm going to get to work a half hour early. So either I got to get there a half hour early or deal with traffic for 50 minutes. But hey, should be an easy Monday. And I hope your commute's going all right.
Yeah, the commute's going okay. Same old traffic. I left a little late. Had to get gas and just running a few minutes behind. But yeah, it's all right. I'm almost at the Cross Island Parkway, and it's the usual congestion at this point, so no complaints. Hopefully it's a nice quiet day at the office.
With the LIE, man, every minute late you leave, I add 10 minutes to your drive. That's crazy. I just pulled out of my parking lot at exactly 6 o'clock. And I'm probably not even 5 minutes away. And if I leave at 6:15, I'll just barely get there at 7.
Yeah, it's crazy how that works, right? You know, it's just like an exponential increase. It's funny, my son was, he works down in Sayville, and he was looking at an apartment out in, I think it was Patchogue, and he said, you know, getting there, he had to get up on sunrise, and everywhere he turned, it was, you know, it was just congestion and traffic, and dealing with the Oakdale merge, and all those types of things. And I was like, oh yeah, I've heard all about that.
Oh, by exit 46 there, I don't know, that's hopeless, man. If I leave work anytime after 3, that's, just forget about it. I don't understand, it doesn't make any sense to me why it's that bad, but that's how it goes. I got pretty much everything done last week that we had, and just waiting for parts for one vehicle. That's easy anyway. Hopefully it'll be quiet today. I don't think we have anything else scheduled. So at least should be an easy morning at least.
Well, that's good. And with the nice weather, cooler temperatures, I'm sure it makes for a more enjoyable work environment.
Well, especially if I have to work outside, yeah. Better than sweating. I don't mind the cool. I don't want snow, but I don't mind the cool. But yeah, I guess we're going to get some of that, some of the wind and rain that's coming from down south in the islands down there. Making it a little cooler, so I'm finally starting to feel like fall, you know? It's been in the 70s up until like a week ago.
Yeah, yeah, I'm welcoming the fall weather. It's a nice change. I don't mind the warm weather, but I don't like the sweat. And, yeah, you know, the 70-degree weather is nice. It's nice to if you're sitting outside not doing anything, but when you start getting involved and you know, just I'm enjoying the fall weather. Let's just say that.
That's good. We already did all the pumpkin picking and the farm trip and all that stuff, so that's out of the way. So now we can get to enjoying the fall. No big plans or anything, no vacation. Just gonna do little things on the weekends, I guess, for now.
Yeah, I don't have anything either. It's just enjoy the fall weather and you know, do the yard work and the little things around the house. So that's all. We went up to New Hampshire 2 weekends ago and visited my son, and that was it. And now it's just get ready for the holidays.
Oh, New Hampshire's probably nice around this time. I've never been there. Thanksgiving we're doing at a I think it's a country club or something. Oh no, Millard's Inn in Cuyahoga. She didn't want to cook and didn't want to have anybody over. Doesn't want to go anywhere. So up goes me, my girlfriend, and my stepdaughter and her mom. So not the traditional Thanksgiving, but I'm sure it'll be good.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be good. I'm sure it'll be nice. And you know, you're with the important people. That's all that matters. Yeah, we have a small gathering ourselves. We have just the four of us, and you know, my wife and my two sons, and then my mom will come over. My sister and her in-laws all have to always have Thanksgiving at their house, and for whatever reason that we were not invited, never have been. So it's always been, you know, kept things separate for that holiday. So that's fine. You know, we'll enjoy Thanksgiving at our house, and then we'll get together with them for Christmas.
Oh, well, that's too bad they keep it separate, but probably for the better if they're like that, I guess. Probably not the best people to be around on the holidays. I used to do with my great aunt and uncle. They lived out in Jamesport, so everybody would get together out there. But my great uncle passed away. She moved to Florida, and then all the you know, everybody around my age is all, you know, married or moved away now. So it's all everybody's all spread out. So no more of that. So I did the last 2 years. We just had my girlfriend's mom came over. Actually, no, the last year she came over, and then the year before. We both were kind of sick, so we just stayed and just cooked dinner at her apartment. That was all right. But it's nice just to get together. Doesn't really matter where it is. Nice family time.
Yeah, that's good. That's nice. Just you know, take it easy, and you don't have to stress over anything. You know, it's no fun when the holiday becomes a chore, right? So, well, it's good. It's just crazy that it's coming up so quick. You know, it feels like only yesterday was July, and we were, you know, talking about going on our trip and, you know, being outside by the pool and that type of stuff, you know.
I know, summer went quick, man. The whole year went quick. I was thinking that the other day, thinking about, you know, looking at stuff for Christmas, gifts and stuff, and I'm like, wow, it's really been that long. I mean, it doesn't feel like it at work sometimes, but, yeah, it went quick. That's okay. That's not really a bad thing.
No, not a bad thing. Just amazes me how it happens, you know? You blink, and another year has passed, so... but that's all right. So you probably almost to work?
Yeah, I'm pulling into the yard now. This will probably turn to all static in just a second, so I wish you well on your commute. This is N2PJG, and maybe I'll catch you on the way home.
N2PJG, this is KETGOY. Have a good day at work. Try and enjoy it. Hope it goes quick, and maybe I'll catch you later. All right, 73.
My medications, and you can hear my throat is on the south side there. Anyway, have you been? Haven't spoken to you probably for almost 2 weeks or so.
Good morning, Rich. No worries at all. I'm doing okay. How about yourself? Yeah, it's been a couple weeks. Usually, either it's my schedule or, you know, I've been reading or listening to a book online, so I've been focused on that. So, how's things going?
Generally good. I've had a cold, so, not a cold, maybe congestion more. And so I'm back on an inhaler for a while, and as much as I try to be careful about it, it causes my throat to be hoarse. So that's where I'm at with that. And, you know, then I just had a long couple of days with fraud, credit card fraud, and I was doing what they were telling me to do, and it always got me into a lot of trouble. I'm usually pretty good with that, and man, I was just doing what they said. So anyway, they seem to have racked up around $5,000 on my credit card, but that'll all be refunded. But very, very sophisticated.
I'm sorry, you're a little under the weather. Seems like I guess with the change of weather, the change of temperatures, quite a few people are fighting something. I've even got a little bit of congestion and a little bit of a sore throat type of thing, which is annoying, but at least I don't have to take any medication for it. I'm good for the moment, so. I'm sorry about the credit card fraud. Yeah, it's crazy how quick that happens. I had, as a matter of fact, I had gotten an alert from my credit card the other day that apparently I'd spent $30 on Etsy someplace. obviously I hadn't, so I said, no, and they said, all right, well, we're canceling your card, and we'll reissue a new one, but that's how they work it. They do, low, small charges to kind of test the waters, and if they get through, then they go more, and they go bigger, and then, it just gets, finally they just go for the gusto. So, well, hopefully everything works out, and you get the, all the charges reversed.
Yeah, well, this one seems to be pretty deep because they were able to, part of the reason why I accepted what they were saying was they were reading off my bank statement, giving me charges in my checking account, not just my credit card. So, I think I had two of these sources, TransUnion and Equifax, I think. From data breaches previously, I think I was on them anyway. But it forced me to make sure that all three of them have a credit freeze, and I did sign up for one of the identity protection companies. Because they kept me going for maybe only 3 days. And, I'm just wondering what damage they were able to do within 3 days. But I've checked things, and I don't see anything else. But very sophisticated, including sending an Uber to my house to pick up the credit card. So that's how bad off I was.
Wow, that is pretty sophisticated, pretty involved. I'm sorry that you had to go through that. It's amazing. I guess it's very akin to I'm trying to think of the word. Back in the day, you had basically the scams, what was that movie with Robert Redford and Jackie Gleason? The Sting. Where it's a big scam and they have a setup and they really, really have a lot of backstory and that's how they convince you. They're able to sound professional and sound the part, and that's how, your defenses are low.
KJ Candy. Yeah, and I don't know if you're involved in that, in your company at all with these kind of things, but it's very sophisticated and something. First of all, I probably have to go to the police station to report it anyway, but in this day and age, one of the things that gave me some confidence in what they were doing was that the SMS number that they were coming up was the same as I got from the legitimate bank. And so that said, yes, it's correct. But then I learned you can copy an SMS and you can copy a telephone number. So all of that looked legitimate. But the only thing is, where my biggest mistake, and I'm surprised that I did it, but to be honest with you, it came off check fraud that occurred about a month ago with somebody actually whitewashing one of my checks, and so that's why it all seemed to be part of it. But when somebody calls you, the first thing you have to do is say, give me a legitimate telephone number that I can verify from the company that you're calling from, and I'm going to call that number and ask for you. And I wasn't getting that response from this individual because he was claiming to be in the fraud department.
Yeah, the term I think you're looking for is to spoof, S-P-O-O-F. You can spoof a phone number, you can spoof a text number, and even email addresses. I can make an email address looks like it comes from the president if I wanted to. And at first glance, if you don't look deep enough, it looks legit. So yeah, it happens a lot. Yeah, I mean, I'm in cybersecurity. That's part of my job, so I'm always suspicious. And I tell my relatives, I tell all my friends to, watch out for certain things. But I'll be honest, my youngest son got caught up in, one of these scams online, and my mother has gotten, she was trying to renew her passport, and rather than going to the government website, she Googled it, and she got a company that supposedly would renew her passport for her for a fee. And when she told me that, I'm like, oh my God, no. it happens. It's out there. So you just have to be very cautious.
Well, in quickly registering, or this case can be, in quickly registering to make sure that there was a credit lock, credit freeze, and in registering, I signed up with Aura, A-U-R-A, seems to be highly rated. But even on there, they're asking you for information, and you're saying, maybe I'm being scammed again. And, but, I look up at the URL, and I see a lock, and I see the company, and of course, everything that follows from the one, from both of them was all, legitimate. But it's just like, who do you trust, it's so sophisticated that it's mind-boggling. And I'm telling you, I was just lucky that my daughter caught it, because I just would have gone on. Well, here's the funny part. They were on the line with me, and they must have been using their contact with me to call the fraud division of the credit card company. And then what they would do is they'd get a six-digit code, relay that to me. I would give that to them, thinking I was giving it to the bank. But in the middle of it, a guy comes on, identifies himself as a fraud from the bank. And then, nah, you're wrong, get off. I hung up the phone on him. That's how bad it was.
Wow, yeah, that's tough. That definitely sounds like they were working all the angles. So, yeah, it's crazy. And like you said, you call Equifax or you call these credit cards or the credit companies, and you want to put a lock on your credit, and you want to, enable protections and whatnot. And then they ask for the same information. They ask for your social security number or bank account numbers. And, it's like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be careful with this stuff, and I'm giving it to you, too?
And it's always been my preference, if I have to give out my ID number, to always do it over the phone. But, and I can understand maybe that could be subject to fraud also. The last four numbers of your social, they're fairly readily available in a lot of different sources. But my concern is with 3 days now, maybe because of the weekend, things were, there wasn't much, and I don't see anything, I didn't see any changes in my bank accounts and things. And, hopefully the identity fraud company is on the ball at this point. I don't think there's a lot of things that I have out there. I assume one of the things would be to open additional credit cards if they had certain information, but I think that would, if it's frozen, I assume that they couldn't do that anyway. I'm not great at it, but I'm usually so astute at it that I don't deal with these things. And the fact that I went as far as I did, I can imagine how people that are less knowledgeable than me just lose a fortune. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I know what you mean, and you know, don't beat yourself up about it. It happens, and they're very good at it. You know, they know how to sound legit, and they have the tools to make themselves look legit. So I definitely, you mentioned it earlier. I definitely would go to the police and report it. They do have you know, these cyber fraud divisions and things like that, and that would definitely be helpful in case there's some issue down the road. But yeah, if you've locked your credit, they can't open any new credit cards under you. And you know, it's crazy, but even some of the things you see on social media, like, you know, on Facebook, there's all those little quizzes where they say, oh, let's do a personality quiz and we'll tell you what your favorite color is, you know, or what, or we'll tell you what animal you'd be, and they ask you a whole bunch of questions. That's to get information that might be useful for them down the road to, you know, hack into your account. You know, maybe they ask a question about, you know, what was your first dog's name, you know, or where did you work, you know, what was your first job in the summer, you know, your first summer job. You know, those types of things, you know, you wouldn't think about it, but, you know, they could be the security question you answered at the bank, you know. So it's crazy how it's all tied together. And, you know, it's one of those things where you always are, you always have to be on guard, you know. I think that this is more common and more pervasive than, you know, just a home invasion, a robbery at home. You know, it happens so easily, and they could fit someplace in Malaysia and they could get you. You know, they've got the tools to do it all online. So don't you know, beat yourself up. KE2DOI for ID.
K2KND. What makes it kind of interesting, though, at one point when they locked the credit card, that also locked certain information. So when I went over to the fraud bureau of the credit card company, number one, I don't think they had the phone number, the cell phone number to call me back on. They had to ask me that. So right away that sends off a bell, but I'm telling you, it was legitimate. And send a photo ID of me next to my, or send a photo ID of the card and me together or something like that. And only under those circumstances could the fraud department talk to me, I believe because the account had been locked. So there's certain things that go on that are counterintuitive, and yet, you know, that part of it was real because we knew that we actually had the credit card company on the phone. So, I don't know. And the other thing is with the two-step verification, that was another thing. If they don't have the number, and maybe that's one of the things that they did. I think if they got to the fraud bureau, then the fraud bureau might say, what number do we need to call you back at? And then they would give them their number, whereas my number would be the number for two-step verification. So even at that, it's kind of crazy, and I may check that out, the fact that they're able to actually bypass it.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's all social engineering. They're able to work those systems, you know, by asking the right questions and you know, sort of tricking you into thinking that you're answering or you're doing something to increase your protection. The concept of the photo ID or the picture of you with the credit card, that's interesting. I've never encountered that one, but I guess it makes sense. They want to show proof that you actually have the physical card.
No, I may have misspoke there. Not the credit card, but my driver's license. It's like you go into a bank sometimes and they use your driver's license for ID, because that would be tied to all of my accounts. No, the credit card, the problem was that's what I felt for. We need to send the card back to the manufacturer to have it checked out, have the ribbon checked to make sure there's no fault in it. We're sending an Uber driver with a, you know, it's going to go right to the manufacturer. And so I actually gave them my card. You know, and again, I don't see anything as a result of that. And of course, now the account's locked down. But that's what I'm saying. That's how sophisticated it was. You know, who in the right mind would do that? Normally, like my daughter said, they would say destroy the card.
KE2DOY. Yeah, that's okay. Now I understand. So it was a picture of you with your license. Got it. And yeah, you're right. I guess they would normally, the bank would say, just destroy the card and we'll be sending you a new one, you know. You know, it's in the moment. It's when they, you know, there's a sense of urgency and they make it sound legitimate and, you know, they play on your senses. You know, they make it seem like it's such an important piece of information that they need. Oh, wow, that's crazy.
K2KMB, and as I say, you know, I'm not beating myself. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not even angry, but I'm usually good at this. You know, you get all these phone calls and things, and here the simple thing was, give me your company's telephone number that I could verify, and then I'll call you back on it. That's what I normally would have done. So, on one hand, also, so the bank is going to have an expense at my expense. An expense caused by me, but, you know, they'll back that up. And I've been meaning to do the credit locks anyway. Again, just you know, mostly for my own protection. You know, interestingly enough, because you get a lot about the changing of the title to the house. And I think in New York State they can't do that. I think there is a verification process in New York State that does not allow it to be done just with a certified letter coming in. So in that sense, we're protected. But that's another thing that I know people have been involved with, and that's really bad. You lose your house. So that was one of the things that I'm watching out for also.
Yeah, I never even thought of that one, but I think you're right. I think there's another additional layer of protection there. But yeah, it's amazing, you know, how sort of there's a domino effect. You know, one little bit, one piece of information then causes another, you know, another failure down the line, and then, you know, slowly but surely they get more and more access and information and take advantage of that. So, I'm glad you caught it. I'm glad you were able to stop it, and hopefully the damage is done, and there will be no more.
Yeah, and besides, it keeps guys like you in business. So, you know, and it's funny. It seems to be a significant direction in computer studies at colleges is like is cybersecurity. And I always wondered whether some of the companies, forgetting this particular incident, but I always wondered whether some of the companies kind of like getting a flu shot, where you get a sampling of the flu and you create the antibodies. I've always wondered whether the companies like Norton and McAfee and so forth actually work on these things, inject them into a system, thinking that it's better that it's coming from a friendly source than an enemy source. And I always wondered whether that was a possibility with some of these things that come up.